Our spirit man's poor from birth, but the gospel fills up the spirit man and makes it rich. You listen to me. We know that so is mind, will, and emotions. We know our body. We work it hard. We ask it to do a lot of things. You can have a great soul and great body, but if you die and your spirit's still poor, guess what? You don't get heaven. Spirit must be born again.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Tommy. Thanks for joining us today at the church at Bushland. Man, we pray that your faith will be encouraged and inspired from today's message.
You may be seated, church. And grateful to each of you. Thank you for being here. Like I said earlier, it is Communion Sunday. I'm just going to kind of preach just for a little bit, just to kind of set it up. But if you've not been here before, when we take communion, if you're new since the last time we took it, that was Palm Sunday, I just want to tell you on behalf of the church that communion does not belong to us, okay? Communion belongs to the Father, to Jesus, okay? This table that sits in front of you with the element sitting on it, the bread and the juice, this is not the church at Bushland's table. This is not my table as the pastor. This is not the church's table whatsoever. This is the Lord's table, okay? And so if you're visiting for the holidays or you're here for the very first time or you're here and maybe your membership is not here at this church, that does not matter at all, okay? What matters and gets you to this table and allows each one of us to take the elements, the bread and the juice, is not membership, it's not our mom or dad or grandparents or where we born or salary or anything. It is simply the cross, and his name is Jesus that took our sins and bore our sins. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, it has been a day in your life, a time in your life that you have prayed, confessed Jesus as Lord, been saved, okay, you are welcomed at the table. Amen. That's the only requirement for the table is salvation. The only one. The only one. Okay. And so I simply, as the lead pastor here, want to say welcome to each of you to the table of the Lord. Okay. Membership's not important. Okay. I mean, we love church and you need to find a church home. If this happens to not be your church home, but you're visiting, you're checking us out, or maybe first time, doesn't matter. But as you come this Sunday, on Communion Sunday, just know that we don't have what is a catchy term in some churches called closed communion. Some churches do closed communion, okay? You may have been there when they did communion and they wouldn't let you take communion because you weren't a member. That's not this house, okay? That is not this house. We are open communion. The only thing that can close it is if you don't know the Lord, okay? If you know the Lord, welcome to the table today for communion. In a little bit, my deacons will come. We will pass out the elements, and we take them all together, or we drink those all together at the end. And so we'll walk you through that as we move on from there. So we do this four times a year. We don't take communion every Sunday. We do it four times a year. And I try to build it around something, like a theme of something. Like that's why we do it for Palm Sunday, okay? Because we don't think Easter is the day to do that because grape juice and white dresses just don't mix, okay? And if you have children Easter, you'll be begging me, Pastor, can we please not do that Easter? Yes, I can. So we try to build it around something. So this one in the summer, it precedes July 4th. Okay, we are in just in a little bit, if not already, your neighborhoods are already probably blowing up, but we will send thousands of dollars into the air for the excitement of smelling that smoke of gunpowder and seeing those beautiful lights, okay? And I love to sit back and spend no money and watch everybody else's money go up. And I don't know about y'all, but that's just a beautiful thing. Freedom, baby, freedom, all right? My checkbook doesn't change, but I get everything you got, all right? So not to plant that idea. But they may be blowing up neighborhoods already. I'm hearing them at night when I lay down. So what I want to say, we build this around July 4th because if we're going to celebrate the freedom as a country, as a nation, and we should, but we also should celebrate the freedom in Christ, amen? And so I like to tag it with that so you can kind of think about it, a word picture, or see that, or understand that better, understand what freedom is all about. So freedom, as we know, is not free. You hear that? Freedom's not free, friends, okay? That is true for our nation, because there are men and women who have laid down their life so we can spend $1,000 in blackjacks and blow them suckers up, all right? There's freedom in blackjack, black cats, all right? But there's freedom as a nation. And that was not free for us. There were men and women who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we might have the freedom to do what we're doing right here, okay? Gather, all right? But that's not true. Freedom's not free for our nation, and it's not free for Jesus. It cost Jesus Christ his life to give us the freedom that we have. And not only freedom is not free for our nation, but it is not true for Jesus either. Jesus, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life for us so that we might know freedom. We might be free in Christ, okay? And so freedom is not free, and it costs you. If you have your Bible, I'm gonna look at several scriptures. Luke 4 first, Luke 4, 18. Jesus is speaking here. He simply says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he was anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and to recover the sight to the blind. Now, I want you to listen to these words. This is Jesus. He knows why he's here. He knows what his Father wants him to do, okay? He says, I'm here to preach the good news to the poor. Listen to me. When we hear the word poor, we're not talking about poor as in income. We're talking about poor in spirit. Listen, we're spirit beings. We're spirit, soul, and body, okay? And our spirit, okay, is dead, empty, hollow, poor, okay, until the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we hear the good news, our spirit man jumps, it leaps. It says, that's what I need in my life. And we respond to the gospel, we respond to the good news, and our spirit man is no longer poor, okay? It is what? Rich, because we're rich in Christ, okay? And we reach out, we confess our sins, we confess the name of Jesus and make him Lord and Savior of our life, and we are born again. And I am no longer poor because the gospel set me free and made me rich. So our spirit man's poor from birth, but the gospel fills up the spirit man and makes it rich. You listen to me. We know that so is mind, will, and emotions. We know our body. We work it hard. We ask it to do a lot of things. You can have a great soul and great body, but if you die and your spirit's still poor, guess what? You don't get heaven. Spirit must be born again. That's what we saw with Clay, proud of Clay and his wife and the kids. That beautiful picture right there. Oh, my gosh. So Clay already confessed Christ. But baptism is symbolic. It is a beautiful picture of what already happened in Clay's life. He went in the water dirty. He came out of the water clean. It's symbolic of what Jesus did with the blood of Jesus, okay? The spirit man was empty, and he went in Christ, and he came up rich. Come up rich. He says he sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Prisoners. What did he proclaim? Freedom. Prisoners want to be free. We can be in chains. We can be in prison without Christ. Once Christ comes and sets us free, we are free indeed. Amen. We'll look at it in just a little bit. But he came so the prisoners could be free and recovered the sight of the blind. You can't see, man, without Jesus. You can't see. Jesus restores sight to the blind man, but he restores sight to each one of us. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Come on. And a light unto my path. You don't even know where to go until Jesus saves your life and gives you the eyes to see what God is seeing so that you can see like he sees and you can go where he wants you to go. He needs to restore sight. Main text is John 8. Go to John 8 with me. John 8. That clock is ticking fast. John 8. Look at verse 31. I'm going to read 31 through 36. John 8, 31 through 36. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciple. Look at verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? Good question. Jesus thought, I'm good with good questions. Look at 34. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. The truth is about to tell the truth. That's interesting, all right? I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Verse 36, good stuff here. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, he's so mixed up. We're from Abraham, and we've never been a slave to anything. Why does he say we'd be free? Listen to me. That's why salvation is for everyone, whosoever. It doesn't matter your family. Doesn't matter your church family. Doesn't mean if you're a member of a church. It doesn't matter. If you know the truth, Jesus, then the truth will set you free. And you can't put all of your confidence in the church, a membership, or a family name, or my parents were saved. My parents grew up. I was just hatched in church. I've been in nursery all my life. I just grew up in church. You can be hatched in church and still lost, okay? Trust me, there's a bunch every Sunday. Hey, you can stay here every day of the week and still be lost. Church membership, being in church doesn't do it. Family doesn't do it. You must be born again. Must be born again. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom, love that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. I've talked about that last week, firm foundation. We just sang about it. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. I say a statement, and every time I say this phrase or this statement, people always want to text me and say, can you text me what you said? You said it so fast, I couldn't write it down, and I wanted to write it down. So today I've asked the broadcast room to pop this up on the board. I want you to see this on the screen. The phrase goes like this: sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Folks, I'm gonna tell you something. That is the gospel. Sin will always take you, every time, further than you wanna go. It will always, always keep you longer than you wanna stay. And oh, bless Jesus, it will make you pay more than you ever, ever planned. The ripple effect of sin is enormous. We're all subject to sin, but I'm gonna say something to you. When that enters your life, when you begin to go in that path, there's some things you have to do. Number one, if you're struggling in an area of sin, you need to get honest with yourself. We're gonna take communion in just a little bit. And when we take communion, the Bible says for we to examine ourselves. We do this in remembrance of him. We need to get honest with our sin, okay? We need to get it into the light, and we need to repent from it. That's how it works. Because anything kept in the dark, anything hidden, anything not brought into the light, I'm telling you, mold grows in the darkness. Okay? You got to bring it in the light. And as we take communion in just a little bit, we have to understand something, that if we'll get honest about where we are, bring it into the light, okay, and repent from it, there is healing on the other side. He wants to restore you, but he can't do that unless we're honest about where we are. Freedom, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Listen to me, freedom, for Jesus, freedom is normal, okay? Hot in the summer, normal. Cold in the winter, normal, okay? If you go to youth camp in July and it snows, that's headlines, okay? So here's what I'm saying. Bondage and being in prison and being in chains is not normal for the believer, okay? What is normal for the church is to be free, amen? He came so we might have freedom, amen? So sometimes when we see freedom a day, that blows us away. I'm saying this. I want to see freedom so much that when I see sin, it blows me away. I want to see freedom, man. Freedom in the house. Galatians 5:1 again. It is for freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we're going to take communion. And here's what I want to do for you. Here's what I want to say to you. This is a safe house. It's a beautiful house. Okay? As you hold the bread and you hold the juice, if you feel like that maybe, just maybe, you get honest with yourself and say, before I take the body, this bread that represents the body and this juice that represents the blood, I need to be born again. I don't want to take this without examining myself. I know there's never been a time in my life that I've been born again. Let me say something to you. You can hold bread in one hand and juice in another hand and pray to receive Christ right there. Right there. Don't dress yourself up. Don't clean up. Don't squirt some perfume or cologne. Just do it right there. All right? And he'll save you, man. If you hold bread and you hold juice and you go, man, that's some stuff in my life nobody knows about. I'm doing stuff that no one knows about, and I can't do this any longer, and I need to repent from this. I need to be honest about it. I need to get it in the light. I want you to know something. You can hold bread and hold juice, and this altar right here is going to be wide open for you. You say, well, I don't want to be irreverent. Holding on to sin is irreverent. Being set free glorifies God. So how about glorify God today? How about get a little unreverent so that you can one day be reverent, okay? Because sin is irreverent, okay? So this house is freedom. There's space in the back if you want to go where the ministry teams are. There's space right where you are. The altar is wide open for you. But do this for me. When you take bread and you take juice, please do what Scripture says. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. And do this in remembrance of me. I'm gonna pray for us. I'm gonna invite our deacons to meet us at the table. Father, we love you, we thank you, we adore you, we exalt you. And God, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And God, I pray that there's freedom in the house today. As we take the bread and take the juice, God, may we do this in remembrance of what you did for us, that by your stripes, we are healed. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, God. And right now, God, we prepare our hearts for communion. We know what it costs you, God. We know. We know that freedom came with a cost for you. And we don't take it lightly, God. We don't take it lightly. So God, we examine ourselves in light of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord's Supper. It was given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and his shed blood. It is said that on the night before Jesus was betrayed, at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating, he took the bread, having blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Let's pray. How do we say thank you, God? I mean, we say thank you, but it almost doesn't. Just seems like it needs to be bigger. But God, I pray today in the house that our hearts reflect a heart of thank you for the cross. You didn't have to. It was the will of your Father. You were obedient under his will, and you gave your life. They didn't capture you. They didn't run you down. You gave your life, God, out of love. No greater friend than this, than a friend that would lay down his life for him. So, God, we say thank you, thank you, thank you that you took our place, you died in our place so that we could be set free. We could be saved. We could be born again. We could have a place in heaven one day. God, we could have a relationship with you, and we thank you for it. God, we celebrate that now. As we take the bread that represents your body, we say, thank you, God. Thank you for dying for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." On that same night, our Lord took the cup. Having blessed it, He gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your body that was beaten and bruised and nailed to that cross. It just had to be that way. But God, we thank you for the blood that dripped from that cross, from your body. God, the word is true. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God, without the blood, it doesn't cleanse our sins. It doesn't wash us white as snow. It doesn't make us new. God, it doesn't cover us, God. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of Jesus. There is, and there still is today. The blood has not lost its power. It still sets prisoners free. It still covers sin and past and yuck and all the brokenness. It still washes people white as snow. It still forgives, God. It still saves today. And God, I pray, my prayer is, Father, that as we examine ourselves before we take the juice, God, that we would confess sin if need be. If we need to go to a brother or sister, we'll do that. God, if we need to bring some stuff into the light, we'll do that. We'll get honest. God, we'll repent because the blood is still wet today and still cleanses today. God, I pray that it's met with true repentance this morning. God, we're thankful for the blood. Thankful for the blood that washes us in clean, restores us. God, we say thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 25 and 26. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here at the Church at Bushland Online. Hey, if you were inspired by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Just drop a message in the comments, or you could email us at info@thechurchatbushland.com. We'd love to hear what God's doing in your life. Also, man, if there's anything we could agree for in prayer with you guys, just text the word PRAY to 806-557-1800. We believe there's power in agreement with the Lord. And so if we could pray for you, just do that for us. And if you'd like to connect further with us through social media, just search The Church at Bushland. You can find out more things that are coming up here and get involved that way. And then if you'd like to plan a visit, we'd love to see you face-to-face. We have services here 9 a.m., 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. You can go to our website, thechurchatbushland.com, and plan that visit, and we look forward to meeting you that way. Finally, man, just thanks again for joining us. Pray your faith was encouraged, and we look forward to journeying with you in the days ahead. So have a blessed day.